This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And you can call this the story of how the tarnish got on the silver. Nate Silver, that is, the legendary media data cruncher, confident about a Hillary victory on Election Day Eve.
So we have Hillary Clinton getting about 300 electoral votes, have her leading by about 3 points nationally. And she's about a 2-to-1 favorite to win tomorrow in our model's view.
And then you got Nate Silver's confidence falling apart the very next night as the Trump victory literally chews up the numbers and spits out history and a Trump victory.
Well, it's not about our forecast. It's about the fact that we haven't had any swing states called yet. And those are states that Clinton was supposed to win, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin. I mean, she is in profound trouble right now in the Electoral College.
But Nate Silver there on ABC is hardly the only one in the media to get it wrong. As we look at the nation's trusted institutions at the dawn of the Trump era, the media looks particularly clueless. President-elect Trump scorned the media with glee throughout the election, regularly banning reporters and organizations if he felt coverage was unfair. Every outburst of Trump was covered as another sign of an unbalanced candidate. But it reinforced quietly that the media was missing something about the Trump appeal. Then there was the election night faceplant when the entire media collectively realized that the narrative of first woman president versus dangerous outsider was wrong. And it was overwhelmed, in fact, by numerous other narratives that the media missed: economic distress in battleground states, Hillary Clinton's weakness, the capacity of millions of Americans to simply overlook aspects of Donald Trump's behavior that the media put front and center for months. And that's just the beginning. It was a series of shattering realizations. And since Election Day, everyone has been picking up the pieces, including some folks around here in public radio. Margaret Sullivan, media columnist for The Washington Post, recently wrote a call to action for journalists to cover the president-elect and fight against the biases and problems that led to the media's narrative that Hillary Clinton was a shoo-in. Well, she certainly wasn't a shoo-in.
In a way, the failure was, on the media's part, was not to listen and reflect what many people were thinking and feeling, but also just to transmit that to our readers and our listeners and our viewers, you know, that there was much more uncertainty than you would get if you looked at these graphically presented election forecasts, which were based on probability and which were ended up being very misleading. I mean, obviously, they allowed for a certain amount of possibility that Trump would win, but it was very low. And, you know, I think that's something that ought to be looked at hard, is when people look at those things, they're not thinking, oh, yeah, well, I guess a 15% probability does mean that it could happen. They're sort of looking at them and saying, oh, 85% Hillary Clinton's going to win. I get it. Over and out.
Why should anyone trust political coverage in the mainstream media after the Trump election last Tuesday?
Well, the coverage in, you know, let's just take sort of two very major outlets, the New York Times and the Washington Post, which are, you know, have been criticized, the Times, I think, particularly. Both of those organizations, newspapers, if you will, did amazingly good coverage during the campaign. They broke stories. They broke stories about Clinton. They broke stories about Trump. They did their jobs to a very large extent. And they got it right for the most part. What they didn't get right was missing how people, the disenfranchised people of this country, were really feeling. And then they overstated these polls that were apparently fundamentally flawed in some way.
Is the focus on Trump's rhetoric and the fear by certain communities that he's a racist or somebody who's going to round up Muslims or focus on deportation, is that again a repeat of the same mistakes that led to this?
No, I don't think it is. I think we have to take those things very seriously. I don't think we forget them or pretend they didn't happen. There cannot be a clean slate here. You know, people are talking about how he's sounding much more conciliatory. I don't think we should forget what went on during this campaign and the kind of hate mongering that took place. So I think that we cannot normalize, and we have to do our jobs as media members of really holding accountable and scrutinizing to the best of our ability. And that means being fair, but it doesn't mean saying, oh, that never happened and he never said such things, and he's not appointing people to be his closest advisors who have very questionable backgrounds. I don't think we leave that behind.
Do you think that Trump's approach to the media is going to affect coverage in that he's perhaps thinking about handing out access to people who are nice to him? Certainly not unprecedented. That's been the case with other administrations. But will it be? Are you concerned that it's going to be more of a situation in this administration?
There's always this push and pull between access and accountability. I mean, this has always been the case, whether you cover a police beat or the White House. You know, to what extent are you one of the favored ones who is, you know, writes positive stories and therefore you get access? And to what extent are you one of the tough reporters who, you know, does your job extremely well but loses access? I think it will be a special problem here because Donald Trump has shown that he doesn't really understand the accountability role of the press. Anytime there's a negative story written about him, he does become punitive. And he's also now got this sort of propaganda arm of Breitbart News, which has been run by the person who's now his strategic advisor, Steve Bannon. So we have a, you know, sort of an inside news agency. I don't think we've seen that before. And I think that's going to be a real issue. And it's going to pose particular problems for that part of the news media who want to do their jobs and hold them accountable. Access is going to be a big problem and a big issue. And it doesn't mean that we don't bear down and do our jobs. I still think we can and will.
Of course, the young journalists at Breitbart say, hey, we did hold people accountable. Look at what we did. We got rid of Jeb Bush. We defined the criticism of Hillary Clinton. And yes, Trump won the election, but our journalism is alive and well. What would you say to that?
I would say that that those journalists or employees may want to say that, but anyone who takes a hard look at that website would say that there's a lot of misinformation on it. There's a lot that's simply twisted and untrue, and I don't hold it up as a journalistic ideal for one second.
There's been a lot of talk about social media and fake news that happened on Facebook and Google. How much of a factor do you think that was, and the rapid cycling of news and how people consume news makes it very, very difficult for mainstream journalists to keep up, to really compete with that? What is the sort of takeaway from that experience in this campaign?
Social media has become a huge distribution point for news and that which wants to pass as news. And Facebook in particular needs to do a much better job of not elevating things that are clearly false because they are engaging people. The idea that, I mean, in my opinion, Facebook needs, they can call this person whatever they want, but they need an executive editor who can make editorial decisions.
Margaret Sullivan, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Okay, John, thank you.
Margaret Sullivan is media columnist for The Washington Post.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.